For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low,
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg,
just saying, okay,
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony,
and our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bras. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. And here I am with my gorgeous little bestie, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banta Blinda. Hello, Bean.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Welcome to Friday, Bats.
We made it through this epic week of Bravo gifts from the gods. I mean, we did New York yesterday. And, you know, Ronnie, I have to say, I was a little shocked. I thought you were for sure going to name the episode Diana Ross Dress for Less.
I almost did, but I don't know. Sometimes you have to take your own ego out of things, you know?
Well, it's weird. When we name our shows, sometimes I'll have something, I'm like, this is so good. And then I'm like, but let me just think maybe there's something better. And then you start to like lose track of what's better than what. And then all of a sudden, like, you emerge with some crazy pun that like makes no sense except to you because you've overthought it. You know, that happens to me all the time.
Yes. But I avoided that because I was like, you know, she probably actually paid a lot for it. And I don't want to bring my love for Ross Dress for Less into Luann's racist outfit, okay? don't besmirch my hobby. Okay.
There's no room for blackface at Ross Dress for Less.
Yes,
thank you.
Guys.
Thank you for taking a stance.
I did. I love my Ross. Don't mess with my Ross.
Yeah. Well, either way, I thought that was funny, but I'm glad that you have a very good response for that. I'm glad that you did, like, you thought about it.
Yeah, of course. And then I was also like, well, I have to say it's the Halloween episode because we talked about titling our things so that people would know what we're talking about. And I guess they would with Ross, but I don't know.
It's hard.
Nice knowing you guys.
Everyone should go listen to it because we were exhausted, both getting off. You had literally just gotten off the plane and we were bonkers. And I don't even remember half the stuff we said. I just remember just like when all else fails, I'm just going to talk in Ramona voice. There's a stapler on my desk with an Ethernet cable nearby. That's basically what the episode was for us.
Those are my most fun episodes because – yeah. You know, it's like when I get sleep and then try and be healthy and then like have positive energy, it doesn't feel right. I like when I'm exhausted and over it. And especially with a show like New York, you know, and I'm like, this is going to be 5 minutes. Neither one of us is going to have anything to say. And it's like an hour and a half later, you know, we still won't let the bone go.
Exactly. But
so that's that. We just got back from DC. We are going to be touring for the rest of the year, so go get your tickets on watchwhatcrappens.com. Next up is Irvine, and after that is San Francisco. Okay.
No, actually, before in between Irvine and San Francisco, we have a Phoenix show. The Phoenix show is 2 days before the San Francisco show.
Oh, and also where else? Don't we have Chicago and the beginning of May? Yeah. So there are still,
it's kind of funny. There have been like 10 tickets left to the first Chicago show is sold out. There's like 10 tickets left to the second one. And it's just been sitting there, 10 tickets. I'm like, people, just buy the tickets. Just buy them. Buy them. But actually, though, before Chicago, though, we do have that Irvine show. And in case you missed it, we're going to be talking about the classic Real Housewives of Orange County show. Episode Naked Wasted, the Naked Wasted Dinner Party. I mean, It's so appropriate. We're going to be in Orange County, so
yes,
that'll
and
be
we'll
good.
Probably be naked and wasted as well.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
For
We're gonna have
today,
some amazing giveaways too.
Yes, so for today we have
WatcherCrappins.com is where you get those
he's
tickets.
Got money, he's in magazines, but
I was so excited. You know why? Because poor Southern Charm. Well, it's not really poor, but Southern Charm comes through. There's this week of just all this hype about Real Housewives of New York premiering. Okay. It was like the 300-pound gorilla in the middle of this schedule. It was the elephant in the room. And basically, it overshadowed the fact that Potomac had a premiere. And we just talked about that in our bonus episode, which we're going to be putting up later today. But also Southern Charm. Southern Charm's like a major show. And I feel like no one was talking about the fact that Southern Charm was back until it came back. And it's been a steady stream of tweets at us being like, oh my God, did you watch Southern Charm? Did you watch Southern Charm? And guess what? We watched it. And
yeah, of course
it was hilarious.
Watch it.
But I'm just saying, like, it's kind of funny that this show really was sitting in the shadow of New York. And but despite that, wow, people were really reacting to it.
And this is going to be an iconic season because JD actually, like, his life starts to crumble. And JD's just like a secondary character on this show. But he's always like, everything's perfect, boy. I'm the man that everyone's trying to be.
Elizabeth fell in love with that. Fell in love with me.
And then, of course, we learned that he's a low-down, cheating, non-rent-paying slime ball, which I don't think anybody was shocked by. I'm just shocked that he ever got caught.
Yeah. This season premiere was funny because it was basically everyone broke up. It was like everyone. I'm surprised they didn't even roll out, what's her name, Christine, the woman who teaches people how to make, you know, rib roasts. She's like, well, I just broke up with my man. It's like, really, her too?
I'd love to be concentrating on this brisket lesson, but broke up with my husband. I found out that he hadn't paid rent for that Cinnabon in the mall that he's been running for all these years. He didn't even own it. He never owned the Cinnabon.
Cooper's like, I'm back, and I'm here to say, I just broke up with my man. I learned that he wants to go to a gay bar. I said, no, that is for filth only. We have broken up.
Yes, so it looks like, and, you know, as horrible meat-eating flowers do, the one of this show thrives when everything else is in disaster. You know, Patricia has a big old new ring on her finger. It's like everyone's sad. Well, it helps my meat flower grow to diamonds. I feel like she's a meat eating like fly trap. You know, she's one of those Japanese meat eating plants. They have those now in Japan. Japan
Sounds
is really
delicious.
Beating us, guys. Japan is beating us. Okay.
They're doing so well. I watched a video of a baby Komodo dragon eating a mouse right before I went to sleep last night.
Well, there you go.
I felt like that really set the tone for this show. I was like, I have like fresh Komodo dragon in my brain. And I was like, and here's Whitney.
Yes.
So,
yes, then you have Whitney's face. That was God telling you that things are going well for Patricia.
So the show, you know, Southern Charm. They love giving us a teaser and then rewinding the clock. And sure enough, they open up the season. It's Christmas time. They're all in tails. They're just looking as douchey as possible. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas party. It's basically a Christmas party in tails. Cooper is somewhere crying in a stocking, waiting for Krampus to show up. And speaking of Krampus, Patricia's like, there's no craziness going on. Maybe I missed something. Ha, ha, ha.
Nothing that I've started is coming into fruition out here. What's that I hear outside? And Catherine's out there like, I want you to know as a mother, fuck you.
Yeah. Catherine's talking to Thomas and Thomas's new girlfriend, Ashley. And she's like, yeah, she's basically like, fuck you. And Ashley's like, I hope someday we can be cool. And Catherine's like, you're going to be gone in a week, whatever. She's, you're very angry. You're very angry.
She's like, we are a family, okay? You can't just come in here. We are a family, Thomas. And she goes, you're not a family. You're an egg donor. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
And then
bye.
Catherine goes, this is my town, bitch. Like, oh, my God. Thank you.
I was like giving a standing ovation. I was like, this is what we need. This is what we need.
Also, you know, it's good that we've had time to just see Thomas on his own in his element, because we've really just seen him be such a creeper and such a gross motherfucker. Like, change your white pants. He's still in the same white jeans with trying to, like, tie off his dick to make it look bigger. Like, Thomas, he's so gross. All he does is, like, stand behind this girl he's dating, like, look at her ass. Oh, yeah, look at that. Hey, that young piece of ass I got. He's so gross, and now that we've seen that for the past couple of years, he's got this new hot young girl, and of course, it's like, you're obviously with him, because he's on a TV show, you're disgusting, I have no respect for you, because she's had the same evidence that we have. I can't respect anybody who's with Thomas ever again.
She also looks like Landon, which I thought was a little weird.
Was it a different person in this scene than it was in the scenes that we see later? Because it looked like two different people.
I think it was the same person, but she may also be a shapeshifter. There is the distinct possibility that she is that.
It's really the creepy shape-shifting nanny.
It's Deidre, soon to be former nanny. Yeah, no, she's basically like a low-level shapeshifter who has been banished from her community because she only shapeshifts into basic bitches. They're like, come on.
They're like, oh my god, you turned into Deidre the nanny? Ugh. Lamest ever.
She's just like a shapeshifter with very low goals. She like turns into Nancy, who works at Michael's. Hi. Oh, did you get to see the ornaments? We got some new ornaments in. Yeah, you should check them out.
They're like, hey, where did Nancy go? Wait a minute, is that Irene at the Hobby Lobby? She's like, I'm just here to say that I'm totally fine with not getting birth control at work. Okay, it's like the lamest shapeshifting ever.
Wait a second. I could have sworn that was Tanya from Steinmart. Oh no, we go to the same salon, but we're different. We're totally different people. Yeah.
Wait a minute. When did you become Iris from Michael's? She's like,
hey, is that Marin from Radio Shack?
Hey, is that Filene from Filene's basement? Wait a minute, that's closed. It's like, I told you I was the lamest shapeshifter ever.
Is that... is that Coretta from Spencer's Gifts and Toys?
Coretta. Oh my god.
The shapeshifter just only... really just wants to stay in some very affordable retail spaces.
Yes,
you know,
yes, like... and crafts.
Yeah, it's like all the other shapeshifters are like, I'm going to become the president. You know, like, nah, yeah. I think I'm just gonna be around some clearance science.
Yeah, they're like, Nadine, Iretta, Corinne, would you like to be a shapeshifter and come over here and work at Blix? She's like, no, that's too much for me. That's too high. Are there still Kmarts in this town?
Yes, and Lainey works at that too. Like, wait a second. Weren't you the one I asked how to use this escalator that I put my card on so it goes on the second floor? Wasn't me. I'm sorry, hon. I work here at Marshall's.
Okay, so we see this Christmas party.
The shapeshifter is also very secretive.
I love that Deidre has become a main character on this show in just like 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, but now we go back in time 3 months, and Cameron's pregnant. This is pretty much our only Cameron scene the entire episode.
Well, she's exhausted, and I don't blame her. She is really pregnant, okay? And if anybody hasn't been watching Cameron on Instagram while she was pregnant, you've really been missing something, because she's the best pregnant lady I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. So we're seeing different glimpses of everyone. I have to work on my diction. I want the shapeshifter to turn into a diction teacher so that way I can enunciate better. Anyway, so we see these different vignettes. We see Cameron's just being pregnant. We see Shep getting some chicken nuggets at Chick-fil-A. We see Patricia trying on diamond rings. My favorite was Austin dropping an Oreo in a glass of milk. And I wanted to ridicule him, but I actually had an extreme amount of jealousy. I was like, that's what I want to be doing right now. I just want to be just dropping Oreos in there and just scooping them out.
Well, if we could mix that with Patricia's huge scene of huge feather sleeves staring at her gigantic diamonds. Like, maybe if I could drop the diamond in the milk and then be like, get that back out.
She's just dipping Oreos, dipping diamonds with Georgette Mossbacher.
Yes.
Just like, Ronnie, I have a question. What do you enjoy dipping in milk better, Oreos or Chips Ahoy?
I don't like Chips Ahoy. I think they're rip-offs of real cookies and nobody should eat them. I love Oreos in milk. I don't like to dip them. I like to put the whole Oreo in my mouth, take a swig of milk, and then let the Oreo dissolve on the roof of my mouth. That's how I choose to eat an Oreo personally.
That seems like that is very Planet Earth. You know, it's like, watch as the West Hollywood lizard captures its prey. First, it never chews it. It just captures it in its mouth and dissolves it in its mouth. Lisa Vanderpump's nature special,
It's
basically.
called The Planet Dearth, starring the big Gila monster, Rondel.
I think I actually like dipping Chips Ahoy's in milk more than Oreos, believe it or not.
I'm mortified. Do you want me to tell you what's better than Oreos and milk? Okay,
Yes.
repeat the process I just said, but instead of milk, put water in your mouth. This also works with Thin Mints. It turns them into
Water with
like,
Oreo?
yes, it turns it into Oreo potion.
Oreo.
And then you turn into a princess who can shapeshift and work in any craft store you want.
I also like Thin Mints and milk, but you know, Chips Ahoy, I agree. They are low-level cookies, but they are very strong in the milk dipping department. And there's that press your luck element of how long can I hold the cookie here before it dissolves and falls off of the rest of the cookie? Because you know, you
Yes.
want to like, you know, it's like you want to get like a maximum mushiness. But if it's too mushy, when you lift it up, the rest of it stays in there. But that's kind of okay, because then when you drink the milk later, you have like
You have cookie
cookie
milk.
mush at the bottom. Yeah.
Yes. That's who invented the Java chip shit at Starbucks. It was just some lazy fuck like Austin sitting at home, like, why don't we just have milk with this stuff in it? That would be good. It's like some stoner at home. So Catherine knows how to really take a sage to a house, okay? She's burning sage all over her new apartment, and she's like, "Dear God, please take away the negativity, bless my home, and protect it from assholes. Thanks."
But you can let the Prime, the Amazon Prime packages through, though.
"Please deliver me from Prime."
Then we see Thomas taking the kids to school, and he's like walking them, and he's as paternal as ever. He's like, "Now don't get wet. There's a sprinkler system that we just installed. Be careful of the sprinkler system. You can only stand here. This is the children's path."
I know, and she's like, it's like getting just totally loaded with water. And guess what he's wearing? White jeans. We're
White
not gonna get
jeans
over
and
it.
yeah, it's they're there. They're there forever.
So, Cameron is finally entering the shit time of pregnancy where it's like, I don't know, you just shit a lot and it sucks and it's terrible. And I thank God every day for not making me go through that ever, because I would have had like 19 illegitimate children right now. Like, if you take the gay man's sexual prowess and then give us ovaries, oh my God, you guys, this world would be really overcrowded. Thank God. Thank God we
Yeah, it
can't
would be
have
a
babies.
problem.
Oh my God.
Well, we can still impregnate people, though.
Yeah, but when a gay person wants a baby, you know we want it. It's like hundreds of thousands of dollars later, interviews, you got to rent an oven from Phoenix or wherever. You know,
And
you
like a
can't.
million Facebook posts you have to write about it. You guys, today we met the surrogate. You're like, okay, great.
Baby is first, poopy. It's like, we get it, but we're
You know
gay and
what?
we're doing it. Okay, we still get it.
I'm gonna make a stance now. Ronnie, you've pushed me. You have pushed me to making this stance. I'm saying it in public now on our podcast. You know what I hate? I
Gay
hate
babies. Oh my God.
gay
Finally.
babies. They are unnatural.
Ben's a
No.
monster. Finally, it came out.
You know what I don't need to see any more of? People putting their babies next to some seashells that say like 1 month or 6 months or whatever. I don't need to see it on my Facebook feed. I actually think the babies on Facebook phenomenon is no longer as bad as it used to be. There was a time when it was just horrific, and I think people have gotten really good about it. But the novelty is like, oh look, I put my baby next to some pebbles and I wrote down 3 months. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm the person who sees those little charts, you know, when people make a notch in the door and they're like, this is her at 3 years old. This is her at 5 years old. And you're supposed to watch them grow. I just like take a Sharpie in there and mark like scoliosis, drink some milk.
See, now, I don't mind etchings like that, the height things, because that shows progress and there's something like very sweet and wonderful about that. But when you do like here 5 months, there's almost an implication like I should have been keeping track, or an assumption that I have been. Like, oh my God, I was just looking at the 4 months photo and look at that. Like, I just don't want to see it. It's not interesting to me. It's not novel. It's not fun. And the pictures are usually bad and it's a little too precious. And I just give me a picture when they turn 13 at their bat mitzvah, okay?
Well, you know that there's some straight person podcast where they're like, I'm sick of faggots and their dog pictures on Instagram. And I'm like, ouch.
Well, I'm sick
hurt.
Of that too.
Hey,
I'm
that
sick
hurt
of that
too. Hey, that hurt. Ow. Okay, I'm not myself anymore. Now I'm Irene at Hobby Lobby and I don't care. You can't affect me.
You guys, I'm sorry about that rant. It actually was not me. That was Trish. Trish from Marshalls just took over my body. She's a shapeshifter / parasite. And I take it all back. Post the photos of your babies with,
oh my God,
like ages.
Thank God Trisha doesn't work at Marshalls. She'd be like, that doesn't fat. You're fat.
No, I was talking about Trish spelled T-R-I-S-H, not your Trisha. She's a CIA. Right?
Yes. But it's also like funny thinking of her in the CIA. She's
both
like,
CIA,
she's like standing by a bush.
Look,
right now I'm a bush. I see you. I see you right now. She's like always letting herself be known on accident. She's like, hey, it's me, Trisha. Oh, damn it, I'm supposed to be a bush. Now I'm not.
I hate this pentagon. Why couldn't it have been a hexagon?
What happened to octagons? Okay, so Cameron is pregnant, and Chef, we find out why he's buying a spicy chicken sandwich, and also why Cameron hurts. She's eating spicy chicken sandwiches. Yeah. So he brings her some Chick-fil-A, which is the new Taco Bell. Someone put that on Facebook. They're like, it's all the women are going to be the Chick-fil-A coven on this season, which I thought was really funny, because everybody's just going to Chick-fil-A all season long. And hello, Chick-fil-A. You know, just because you put prayers on the bottom of your cups don't mean that we won't do a good Chick-fil-A sponsorship. Get over here, okay? I went to Chick-fil-A on Gay Pride. Bring them on.
Yeah,
I
sure.
I don't need my chicken sandwich to approve of my lifestyle. Come on. I'm in.
That's true. That's such a good point.
It's like they may not like me, but I'm eating them. So, like, who's the winner here?
That's great logic. Pam, I know you're in there, Pam.
Just gluing some plastic
Pam from AutoZone.
Hey, I was at Michael's.
I know you've
Michael's.
Taken over Ronnie's body. Pam was at Michael's? Yeah. I thought Irene was at... No, Irene was somewhere... I don't know.
I know. Yeah, it's time to give Pam a little rest. Pam, listen here, your Michael's AutoZone hybrid store. She's like, would you like windshield wipers or some plastic fall leaves to glue onto a jug? Okay, so Cameron's pregnant, like super pregnant. He's like, come on, you're still in bed. This is bad, Cam. This is bad. What if he did the reverse
Can
scene?
Can I touch it? Gosh.
It's like, it's not an it. It's a Palmer.
I like that they name their child after a beverage.
I know. She's going to just be complicated and have Arnold be the next baby.
Palmer Arnold. Or maybe she's going to reenact famous Arnold Palmer videos with her baby.
Yeah.
Except that Heather Dubrow ruined that with her Halloween costume from a few years ago, where she was like, whoa, look at me. I'm Robert Palmer. Video.
Oh, yeah, she did do that. We met a girl who looked just like Heather Dubrow at our DC show. It was the weirdest thing ever. And she talked like her and acted like her and was awesome. She was nothing like her. Like, she wasn't horrible like Heather Dubrow. But everything else, she was just like Heather Dubrow. Did you talk to her? I loved her. I hung out with
her. No, I don't think I did. I mean, I may have already.
Yeah, you met her. She was at the meet and greet. Okay, anyway, guys. It was amazing. We're never going to do... We're so glad Southern Charm's back. Let's talk about Michael's.
Yeah, let's... listen, Stephanie from Flame Broiler. Get out of there. We're trying to do a podcast.
Listen here, Olivia from Sonic. Get out. So Shep is still saying things like, you know, gosh, holy mackerel. I haven't seen that thing yet. Can I touch it? And she's like, it's a she, and her name is Palmer, and her middle name is Korean, like my grandma. And I'm like, also kind of the slutty weirdo from The Bachelor, but, you know, glad
Palmer,
you don't watch
Korean,
that show.
Eubanks, PCE. Sounds like an energy group. Anyway, so she's like, so, Shep, what's up with that girl you met five months ago in your terrible spinoff? He's like, oh, gosh, well, I went up to New York to see her, and like she would go to sleep at 11 p.m., and I'm like, I want to stay out and drink till 4 a.m., so, gosh, we broke up.
Any place that Shapeshifter Deidre works in sells things that are more expensive to that set of that show. The final scene was in a dark alley. And he's like, gosh, look at us. You want to make out? And she's like, I guess.
And then she's like, and he's like, well, she's a great girl, but, you know, we're on different wavelengths. And Cameron's like, Shep, it's always she's a great girl, but. And he goes, yeah, but, gosh.
Yeah, and then this is the thing. Shep is always like, I'm such a bachelor. But he's really just like a bitch who's losing his teeth. Like, he really just wants to cry like a girl. And he does it every single time. He's like, well, they went home at 11. And she goes, yeah, so what, she's supposed to stay out till 4 a.m. and then go home and read classics? Who is this girl, Shep? You are not young. He goes, well, I tried. I put my chips on the table. She goes, oh, now I see the problem. Like, she's like literally imagining him like putting Pringles on the table.
Yeah, he's like, this one's, I came all the way to New York to give you this Pringle. Oh, sorry, I ate half of it. Gosh.
So this is when he gets victim-y. He goes, well, I went to New York for 5 nights, and she saw me 2 nights. Gosh. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's like if nuclear war happens, you know? Like, you just have to make it happen. And I didn't get that with her. I'm like, oh, really? You're
okay.
Crying because you
all
didn't
right,
get enough.
Yeah. All right, settle down, Mariah Carey. All right, how about you're not like, how about you try not to be wasted? How about the fact that when she leaves at 11, you go with her?
Yeah.
You say, you know what, I'm not going to stay at the bar. You're going to make some sacrifices.
Yeah, I'd love that she brought out all of her friends and he stayed at the bar while they went home. I mean, who does that? Also,
wasn't she 21 or something like that? She was like a 21-year-old from Brooklyn. So when Cameron's like, well, mate, well, you need to date women your own age, you know? Like,
yeah.
Maybe there are some truth to that. Although he was the one who was acting like he was 21 and she was the one acting like she's
45. Yeah, exactly.
45.
He's even dating younger people. And she's like, well, it's a thing called a job. Okay. And I have to get up and do that. And he's like, gross.
Yeah.
Gosh, who would do that to me? And it really bugs me that he's younger than me. And just like talking about how old he is. It really bothers me.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I feel like I'm rode pretty hard. I mean, why lie? But he's ridden himself way harder than me. Why does he get to be younger? Gosh.
You're so right, Ronnie.
And did you notice that she's like, well, I say it's your birthday, because she didn't even know. He's like, yeah. She goes, you're almost 38. And he's like, yeah, like right now, today. And she's like, oh, yeah. Well, happy birthday. Why don't we have a party at your new beach house, which I love. Just last year, he's like, I'm moving away from the beach so I can be responsible. And he's like, that's gross. I'm going back to the beach immediately.
No, he was moving out of the town to go to the beach because in town, people kept on coming over and he couldn't help but party with them. But at the beach, you know, it's harder for people to come over. So we'll have a party there.
Oh, so I'm totally backwards. Never mind. You're doing great.
No, the logic is still kind of warped, though. Like, the whole point of moving to the beach is that way he could have fewer parties. To be fair, which I guess is my catchphrase. People are like, I love when Ben says to be fair. I can't help it. To be fair, I just say to be fair. I don't know why I say it. I don't know where it came from.
Because it's very important to be fair on Southern Charm.
As in, to see all sides of the issue. He did say he didn't want to host the party.
Yeah, he's like, I only have busboys after closing time if they have hot girlfriends with no bras. I don't throw parties. She's like, come on, Shep. So I'm just going to make her Brittany for now until I get back into my Cameron.
It's okay. So, our Karen Huger was Luann, so hey.
My Karen Huger's always been Luann, though.
Luann's like, that was my costume last year.
What? Why is everybody looking at me like that?
I always feel like somebody's watching me because I'm in blackface.
Ray, you didn't tell me about the taxes. Tom's like, yes, I did. And my name's Tom.
Ray's like, trash.
Oh. So Danny and Catherine are hanging out, and Catherine's like, "Welcome to my home. It's like it was direct. It was like it was put together by ADHD."
Yeah, you could say that. There was some very intriguing decor in there.
Girl, I will raise money for Amazon Prime for you. It's $120 a year. Get on it. I don't have to
I
do
did not
everything for you.
understand. I did not know what was happening. Like, is this the world we're going to live in now that Fixer Upper has been canceled? I guess it hasn't been canceled, but it's over. I didn't know that Fixer Upper ended. Apparently, the last episode of Fixer Upper was on Tuesday. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. Is that the one with Tariq and what's her buns?
No, but come back to that. It's the awful one. I don't know why people love it. It's a Chip and the lady.
Oh, the
So
girl with soccer mom hair that you hated.
no, that's like hometown.
Oh,
I
for
hate.
fuck's sake, HGTV. How have you
No,
changed this
Fixer Upper
much?
is Chip and I think Joanna or something like that. He's got like, he's just like obnoxious and terrible. And she's like, "Oh, Chip." But apparently Tuesday was their last show ever. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is because why not? But also, oh, because Torek and what's her face? What's Torek's wife's name?
I don't know, but I love that show. I love that she hates him. I love her
Yeah, they're
seething
coming back for new
hatred.
episodes.
Oh, good.
But they're divorced now. So obviously because he like she cheated on him and then he like threatened her with guns. No, great stuff.
Yeah,
I'm
that doesn't
so
mean we can't
excited.
do a decent backsplash together.
I'm so excited for their flip or flop to come back. I think it's coming back in May.
Flip or flop. Flip, flop, Tom Tom O La La. Those are your choices. Okay, so Danny and
So.
Catherine are hanging out, and Catherine's like, "Thomas has always doubted me and my ability to take care of myself. And look, I can do it. I never needed you." I'm like, that's a futon. So.
That's Carol Radswell's old couch. I mentioned that because you started doing Carol Radswell's voice.
But they're similar. It's going to take me a couple of
Spectrum.
weeks.
It's I know it's hard to pivot sometimes. That's but then I had someone tell me, you know what you gotta do? Pivot.
Look what I've
So
got, a bruised arm and all my bruise because I took blood
I
because Thomas makes
gotta
me go get blood alcohol tests every day. And I'll say I'll do that every day as long as I can follow it up with a hug from my baby and a martini. Am I right? I don't give a fuck.
And Danny's like, I'm Teddy.
Yeah, Danny's like, well, she goes, "Well, how are you doing?" And she's like, "Well, I'm supposed to be married and I'm not, so there's that. But, we just figured out we're two different people." And it's like, yes, there's one of you, and then two of your ages added into one, which is him. Like, come on. Come on, guys.
Well,
Everyone on
what I
this
thought.
show, dating here must really suck in this town because I don't think
Yeah.
anybody's ever dated here where I'm like, that's great. The only one with a good husband. He won't even show up on camera, so.
Yeah. Well, he's smart. Well, what was funny was, yeah, so Danny comes over. We're getting totally sidetracked, mostly my fault. But Danny comes over, she gets the tour. She sees the new place. And then Catherine shows her the bruises she got from the blood test because for the alcohol test for the mommy stuff with the courts, et cetera, et cetera. And then she's like, but now tell me about you. And Danny's like, well, I'm supposed to be married by now, but we just realized we're two different people. And it's like, okay, back to Catherine.
Yeah.
Danny has like a whole story happening here. It's like, okay, great. Thanks. Okay, back to Catherine.
Yeah, well, she knows the ropes. She's been on this show for 5 minutes a season. She knows how it rolls.
Yeah. She already had her big moment when she fainted.
Yes, so Catherine tells her, "Well, now it's time for Nanny to go bye-bye." Because Thomas
Yeah.
agreed. And, she was doing weird things like not wanting to let me hold my son. Not happening. So they got rid of Nanny. So Deidre is pissed, but I like that Catherine is still kind enough to leave out most of the gossip. Because wasn't Thomas fucking the nanny's daughter? Like secondary nanny or something? There's like so much
I
happens on
don't
this show
remember.
backstage.
I don't remember. There's a lot of weird stuff. But yeah, we then cut over to T-Rav at his new house. And he's there with Deidre, and the Chiron says, soon to be former nanny, which is so funny. She's obviously like very annoyed, but she's like made this very elaborate schedule that's color-coded. She's like, see, I'm a great nanny. I'm a great nanny. Good luck to you now. Good luck to you, you
Yeah,
know?
glad you let her win on this one.
Yeah.
It's like she put her foot down and now you're listening to her and you have another 20-year-old here. This is great. This is working out great for me. Enjoy making your own Excel spreadsheets of your kids' goddamn schedules. I got to get to Hobby Lobby. It's like, bye, Irene. Goodbye, Irene.
Kenzie's saying, nah, doing so well in the new house. I got a new house, kid friendly. It's actually a house that the kids can be in for once.
Actually,
sad to let them
walls
out of their cages.
Actually, got walls that talk to the children for when I'm not home. Very kid friendly, this house. Kenzie, talk to the wall now.
They got a lot of holes. They love playing with the electrical sockets. They stick their finger and they get a little shock. It's so fun. It's a
the
fun
last,
house.
The last layout wasn't conducive to the children. They would put their finger in the light socket. Now I've got light sockets big enough for their entire hands.
Sometimes I'll leave a bunch of handsaws around and be like, "Hey, go have fun. Play, children."
So, yeah, Deidre makes a calendar, and he's like, well, Catherine doesn't like Deidre so much, so to reach an agreement, I had to let it go, and it's sad and unfortunate. It's like, Thomas never stops running for fucking mayor, ever.
I know, exactly.
He's like, I'm sorry about the fluoride in your water. That was sorry about the lead in your water. It was totally unfortunate, but, you know, come back and vote for me again. My walls talk to my babies, so...
Well, the good news for Thomas is he has a new girlfriend named Ashley. He's like, I met this beautiful nurse out in California. I was at a bar and she was like, come here. And I was like, all right. And my erection led the way. And I was like, have you met the Ravenel Bridge? Because guess what? It's between you and me right this moment.
I haven't taken my white jeans off since. And so, of course, he's totally perving out all over her. He cannot believe he lucked out. And you know what? He's right. I hope you enjoy this because this is your final person in their 20s, Thomas. Like, this can't last forever. So he's like, there's one exercise I like that involves cardio. And Deidre's like, God, I don't get to listen to this anymore every day. God damn it.
It's polo.
Marco. Polo.
Polo.
Marco.
Polo. Polo. I like to play it with the shapeshifters around here.
Marco YOLO, am I right? She's like, oh, I'm really into you.
Marco Rubio, get it. A little Republican humor for y'all.
So then we skip back over to Catherine, who's still with Naomi, or not Naomi, Danny. And she's like, well, my three-year-old told me that Mommy, Ashley sleeps in your room with Daddy. And I said, when did he get a futon? I did it first.
She's so impressed that Kenzie is aware of Ashley furniture. She's like, well, of course. All the furniture is from Ashley.
I'm not a renter center. This isn't Real Housewives of Potomac, okay? She goes, we know what her intentions are. No one believes that horse shit. And it's good that she was a hospice nurse because that's going to come in handy. I was like, that is a really good burn, but you did make two human beings with this person. So
yeah, exactly. So then we go over to the Willow Salon. It's a salon that specializes on hair for former cast members of Willow.
Can I please have the hairy worm? Hairy worm, come over here. It's your turn.
I don't know why I'm doing so much Lisa Vanderpump this episode. Chelsea is there. She's like, haircutting. And Naomi shows up. And Naomi just wants to have like a little shampoo situation. So Chelsea takes her over to the shampoo station. And it's truly one of the ugliest walls I have ever seen on television. Did you notice this wall?
No, I didn't notice the wall because I was still sad for Naomi because she's like, I don't have water pressure. I'm like, you know that Greg tried to put on a new goddamn water spout or some shit
he's
in the
like,
shower and turned it
Naomi,
off.
Naomi, I could do plumbing, Naomi. It's like, Craig, that's a straw. You're hooking up a straw to the plumbing, Craig. It's not going to work. No, trust me. Do you know how to do it, Naomi?
I'm Googling it, okay? So what did the wall look like? Build it in my mind.
Oh, God. It's like, I need to, like, have a moment here. So, basically, it's a giant gray/brown mural of a tidal wave that is kind of, like, crashing at the shampoo station. But, like, over the tidal wave are a bunch of tin tiles. And then above the tin tiles is this, like, backsplash situation. And the backsplash is kind of, like, gray brown, but someone painted these weird haphazard white stripes on it, so it's sort of as matching the wave that's crashing on it. It's like a really terrible version of Hokusai's wave situation, and it's awful. It's awful.
So it's basically like a representation of Craig trying to fix the spout in the bathroom.
Or perhaps it's one of Nick Alain's early pieces, Maestro.
Tink, tink, tink. Tile, 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 tile. Wave, 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 wave.
Yeah, no, it's a really horrific wall. And I felt it was important to mention it. I think anytime there's a terrible wave mural, we have to take time to reflect on it.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I was on the journey. I was on the wave journey with you.
Yeah, good.
So now, Chelsea 7,
the wave.
So Craig, meanwhile, is unpacking with his friend, who I hope he makes out with when they're drunk, because they're so cute together. They're like, bro, not me. They're both hot. And they're unpacking Craig's stuff, because Naomi has dumped Craig. And so Craig is having to move in with his friend. And I was like, is this a ceiling he was painting? Why did it open with him painting a ceiling? Was that this house? Which house is it? I'm so confused. Help me, man.
I don't know. I'm still waiting for Colonel Gizmo to show up. My favorite cast member.
Where the hell is that cat? So he unpacks a box, and it's, you know, kitchen supplies. And he goes, whoa, I guess Naomi must have packed this box. Because it's a mess. And his friend's like, yeah, it is a little dirty. So I was like, okay, enough of your Naomi shaming, boys.
Yeah. Well, also, it's clear that Craig probably packed it. He's like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I Googled this, no. Okay. I Googled
this, the best practices for how you pack a box.
So he's explaining the breakup, and he's like, she didn't look at me the same and wasn't okay with the life I was living. And then they cut to him, like, I got a step and release. And her yelling that he was late and didn't know how to put it up.
So good. Oh, my God. So many funny memories. So then we go back to the salon, and Chelsea's like, you know, I'm really sad that you guys broke up. At the same time, I'm like, hi, yo, yeah, we're going out tonight. Am I right? Mm-mm.
So then we get to hear about what Chelsea has been doing, because Naomi's like, yeah, being single sucks. They're either taken, they fucked my friends, or they have an STD. Am I right? And she's like, yeah, speaking of Austin, he's actually done all three of those things. And it turns out that he quit his job. He hadn't even been working. And Naomi goes, no, that's how it starts.
It's kind of true. I don't think anyone on this show has a job at this point. Or any of the guys, I should say.
The guys are like, we're on TV. We never need to work again. Now, we know how Bravo pays. And it's not that well. So I don't know what you're thinking. But he does just have like a Cheeto and beer diet. So
yeah,
I just noticed that he does keep his hair bleached.
He does. You know, he looks tidy. Basically what happened was that he quit his job. He hasn't gotten a new job because what sort of career path is he on anyway? He's basically like a poor man's Carl, which is already, you know. And so Chelsea was paying for all the food, and he would do shifty things like walk outside to smoke a cigarette so that way she would pay for the beer, etc. And the final straw apparently is that one night he went out with his friends, was like, I'm going to come by later. And he didn't come by until it was 3 a.m. And he was drunk and slid into bed and tried to fuck her. And she's like, no, thank you, sir. You know, as she should have. It's like, don't tell him you're coming over at 10 or 10:30 and then you show up at 3 a.m. You just want to fuck. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah. And Austin, not that we really had that high of hopes for Austin anyway, or I didn't. He spells Austin wrong. So, I mean.
How does he spell it?
Well, he spells it like Jane Austen. Isn't Jane Austen spelled Jane Austen?
Well, that is a man of... As a man of, he is what I call OC, our class, Jane Austen.
He's an original.
Do you want to hear something?
He's an OA, an original Austen. How dare you say it spelled wrong?
I found out that my aunt has been publishing Jane Austen fan fiction.
Have you read it?
And no, but I actually think it's the coolest thing ever. So if anyone wants to read my aunt's fan fiction, she publishes under the name Lily Bernard.
Well, I wish she wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, because I read that. What a lovely book. What a lovely, lovely book.
Well, who knows? Who knows? But she revealed that over Passover, and I was like, that's so random and kind of like super cool.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's
my
amazing.
My aunt has a pseudonym, Lily Bernard.
My Aunt Josie publishes eviction letters for the property management company that my family runs.
I love
her fixin is more like, get the fuck out or I'm gonna fucking kill you and beat your entire family. Okay, how's that? And they're like, okay, well, great novel.
It's possible that Mr. Darcy might say that to the Bennets.
So let's see. Nikki, Austin is still like, oh, hey, Nikki, you doing well? There's so many guys with like kind of this weird speech impediment like in the front of their teeth on Bravo. What is it? Austin, he has kind of the Carl thing.
Poor man's Carl is that he has the kind of a Carl thing.
I just wrote, ugh, his twitchy flirt is painful. That's my note on this scene.
I'd like the montage of watching him doing nothing all week. You know, throwing ping pong balls into a net, watching TV, napping.
Yep. And he's like, how do people even have 9-to-5s? Like, how do they get stuff done?
So Austin meets up with Shep on a balcony at some bar, and they're like, gosh, the waves are so big. Gosh.
I guess this is by Shep's house because he's on a golf cart, which is, I love that we don't even have to question that on this show. It's like Shep arrives in a golf cart. That's so Shep.
Well, remember Landon used to drive around the town in a golf cart as well. I don't know how things work in Charleston. I would like to go there.
Yeah, we definitely need to go there.
Yeah, do we have a lot of listeners in Charleston? Because it would be fun to do a show there. So if you're from there, let us know.
Yeah, it's so fun when we call everybody a stupid cut fitness and then show up in their town. We're like, do you want to hang out?
To be fair, we haven't called anyone a cut fitness yet. We've done a good job.
We haven't, but... okay, so Shep arrives in a golf cart, and he's like, hey, bro, bud. He's like, gosh, I'm not into birthdays. I'm 38, bro. God, but I'm feeling good, like Nina Simone on her final tour. I'm feeling good. I'm trying to keep Shep classy here, okay?
Oh, no, Applebee's is actually a Jane Austen character from one of her long-lost novels, Mr. Applebee's. He's a proud widower who spends time in London, but also his country home. And he's elusive and has a sister who wants to introduce him to a lady who is proud. And yet he has a certain attraction to one of the Willower sitter sisters.
The Willowers.
I got lost in the joke. I'm sorry, everyone.
I'm not smart enough to keep up with that joke, okay?
I was like, I can't believe I'm doing it as long as I'm doing it. I'm like, maybe Ronnie will tag me out. No? Okay.
I'm an idiot, so I'm going to just sit over here during intellectual parts.
I'm going to tag myself out. I'm just going to look at the Toblerone.
Oh, my God. I forgot we had Toblerones. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I should close my backpack.
I had one on the plane. I went on the plane and I had half of one before we started recording, and now I'm just staring at it.
Oh my God, you just made me think of Toblerone. I'm gonna make Toblerone
this way.
I'm gonna make Toblerone cookies today. What do you think of that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'll tell you how they turn out.
Toblerones are wonderful. The only thing I don't like about Toblerones is the way that the crunchy part then just gets like stuck in your teeth, and you have to be like to get it out. I don't like. Why do they?
Because we're 38. So that's why. So Austin's like, we could. I just don't understand what happened with Chelsea, because like we got like we're so close and we talked all the time, and then that relationship was just severed. And I just don't understand what it is. I'm like, you don't have a job, you're throwing ping pong balls into a thing all day, and you're expecting her to pay for your fucking beers. What does someone?
You don't even know how
to
dip an Oreo cookie. You don't even know how to dip an Oreo cookie. You dropped your Oreo in the milk. Like, it's the most basic thing that you can do. Three-year-olds do it. So, yeah, well, we realize – well, Austin tells this story. Like, yeah, I don't know why Chelsea's not talking to me. By the way, I met this girl named Victoria, started dating her / having sex with her, and turns out Victoria and Chelsea are, like, really good friends, and now Chelsea won't talk to me. I'm like, yeah, well, there you go.
I love how they talk in this town. He's like, unbeknownst to me, they were good friends, and then Chelsea said she can't just sit there and watch us canoodle. It's like, who talks like this?
Also, it's called Mutual Friends on Facebook, okay? Don't tell me you didn't go onto her Facebook and saw a mutual friend, Chelsea.
Yes. Yes. But unbeknownst and canoodling in the same sentence. I'm like, that's probably why she broke up with you. Like, she accepted your hair dye, you know?
In Charleston, we do a lot of canoodling. That's how we do it here. The Limehouses are known for their canoodling. But the weird the part the other thing that's kind of funny is that Austin now he's like, well, but now I've broken up with Victoria, which means the door is still ajar for me and Chelsea. I was like, what are you talking about? You have like there is no door. It's just a wall that you're trying to turn into a door, but it's a load-bearing wall. So according to Chip and Joanna, you can't take it down. You just can't. It's over.
Load-bearing wall.
You built a load-bearing wall by accident.
So Seb's like, well, that's not fair. Like, gosh, you can't date her, but then you also can't date her friend? Gosh, that's not right. And he's like, yeah, she wants her cake, and she wants to eat it too. It's like, okay, you guys, you're really smart. You're really, really intelligent, poor people who refuse to work and drive golf carts around here. No one's feeling sorry for you.
Carol's like,
I like cake.
How many more summers do we have to eat cake together?
I just got into town. I ran all the way here.
Why is your door ajar? Don't you have a door?
How big are the jars here? Or how small are the door frames?
So then we get to see Whitney in his new youthful jumpsuit.
Yeah. Run DM lame.
Oh, Whitney. So Whitney has apparently just gone off the Norman Bates end of the pool. Like, he's not even trying anymore. He's having a very rough time because his mother is engaged, and it's just freaking him out, and it's hilarious. And he's just watching Shep eat. Like, he's just disgusted with what he created, okay? He's created the show, and he hates himself and the whole show.
Because Shep's like, gosh, let's get some queso fundido.
With chorizo on top. Do you want some? And he's like, no, man. Just ate, mother. Just ate. Just ate, mother. Mother, stop asking me. I just ate. And Shep's like, okay. And also, I have tacos with fundido chorizo queso on top of the tacos. Then also, just bring out a cow and open up his heart and just let me suck the fat out of it. Do you have any heart blockages? I'll have that, Garsh. And Whitney's just watching him eat like, disgusting, mother. Disgusting.
Yeah, so basically Patricia has a gentleman caller known as Mr. C who gave her a very large promise ring. And Whitney tells us, you know, because Patricia has had several gentleman callers in her past. And he's like, yeah, the first time mother got married, I remember I was in school in England and I got a telegram saying she got married. That was fucking weird. I'm like, how old are you? A telegram?
Yeah, I just
like,
got this
after your Atlantic passage.
He's like, that was really sad what happened to Lily and Jack, isn't it? So I was on this boat, and like it was the first boat ever to go across the Atlantic. And I got this yellow piece of paper, and I love that it's so fresh in his mind. He like remembers the paper color. And then Pat was like, well, I've been married. I'll call you when I'm off the boat.
We're going to go on a wonderful trip on something they call the Titanic. Never seen anything like her. I'm going to go. Should be a great time.
Mr. G is the king of the world. He's like, and now it's Mr. C, mother. Ugh. So this poor guy, Whitney, is just not having a good time of it. He's like, I'm healthy. I work out. I have nobody. I'm alone. My mother got remarried. This guy's eating queso vendito. Fuck my life. But at least he showed up, you know. That's rare for Whitney lately. So they start talking.
Sorry,
about
I'm
Craig.
I'm still thinking about Patricia sending a telegram. Dearest Whitney, stop. I have some news. Stop. I'm getting married. Stop. I don't know why. I just feel like that's how she talks around the house. Michael, I'd like a martini. Stop.
Do I have a gentleman stop caller? Stop.
Let's put out some elephants for the Indians. Stop. Is George out here? Stop.
I would like to tell everybody in my neighborhood, stop. It is pronounced stop. Engines. Stop. Okay, so let's see here. Shep is talking about how he's friends with Craig again. And Whitney's like, God, now what are we supposed to do? So he's like, I'll bet if you call him right now, bro, if you call him right now, he's like not even going to answer his phone. I'll bet you $20. And Chef's like, $20? Okay, let's try. Well, you owe me $20. He answered. You owe me $20. Then when they're leaving dinner, he's like, or when they're leaving lunch, he's like, he answered $20. Don't forget, Garsh.
Yeah. I also liked when they were talking about Craig, because the reason they call Craig is to do the menu for Shep's party. And Craig says, like, he's like, yeah, that sounds like fun. And Shep's like, yeah, you know, like, you know, we've had our ups or downs, but you know what, though, Craig and I are fine. And then they cut to this flashback, that flashback of Craig just punching Shep's knee and anymore. Ow! Gosh, why, Craig? Why?
And Craig's like, you're a drunk motherfucker. And then Shep goes, I'm a drunk motherfucker. You're a drunk motherfucker.
One of those, just one of the most hilariously petulant moments of the show's history. It just, they just decided to wedge it in there. It was great.
Oh, they gave us all the classics today. They showed that scene of Catherine when she's like,
yeah,
when she's like, well, you know, hopefully me and Thomas can get along better this year. And then they cut to her running down that plank in a fur coat going, Thomas, come back.
Speaking of which, we then see Thomas at JD's guest house where there's like a full on tree down. I mean, this place is like it's like a shithole. So Thomas is stepping over trees and stuff. He's like, oh, this looks child friendly. And he meets JD in this really shitty little house. It's not that the house itself is shitty. It's just that on the inside, it's just like folding chairs and cobwebs and stuff. Oof. And like an Afghan, you know, blanket. So so we see all the headlines about JD's demise, about gentrifying room. He dodged the rent bills for the entire time. He had that restaurant open. He owes $165,000, which I actually think is low considering that he dodged all that
low.
Rent.
Yeah. And then they didn't say all the cheating parts, but apparently he was, you know, caught cheating and stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's going to come out.
He's doing this full-on victim thing, which is hilarious because, you know, he's with Thomas. Both of them are fuckers. You know they're out doing coke with 20-year-olds every goddamn night. And then he's like, well, look at you having a hard time being you. It's hard to be you, isn't it? What a tough time. Is that a buzzsaw? Can my children come play here?
JD, that stands for just down on his luck, doesn't it? So
and he's so excited to have somebody else in trouble. He's like, yes, well, I know Gentry's closed and tough time for you. You and Elizabeth, what's going on there with you and Elizabeth? It's like, okay, Thomas. Thomas
what's
is
going
just
on with
like
that
rubbing
thing?
It in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now
so JD's like, well, you know, we've been separated for a couple of months and I don't know, like the stress hit and I just didn't feel the support the way I should have at home. I'm like, how about she's married to a guy who claims to be a successful businessman and is not paying his bills, and you're the one complaining you're not getting support? How about like the fact that she's been married to a lie? How about that?
Yeah, well, I don't feel bad for her. She married him. I mean, I do feel bad for her.
I
but
feel
who
bad
marries
for her.
JD and then like is shocked that JD is like a cheating cokehead bastard who doesn't pay his bills?
Well, yeah.
But that's yeah, true. I feel bad for her too because I like her.
Well, but I'm just saying that he's trying to sound like he's like, well, I just things were tough and I just wasn't feeling the support that I needed at the time. Like he is the victim here of his own fraud.
Because he's like, well, she told me you got to get out and it'd be a week. I'd be staying here at the family home. And after a week, you think it's time to make this stop. Isn't it? But then it never stops. Like, well, no, you don't get to just go cheat on your wife and then, like, give it a week and it's all better, you fucker.
Yeah. And if anyone has seen the preview scene that was released about 2 weeks ago of Naomi and all the girls just going in on JD, we know that this is about much more than bills. It's about his philandering ways.
Yes. And he's like, it's hard to have to go work all day. And then Thomas jumps in and he goes, and then come home and fight battles. Oh, I know.
I know. Except for the part about working all day.
I'm like, didn't you push one of Catherine's hairdressers into a pool?
Like, yeah. But JD is like, see, I don't got my ring on. She doesn't have hers either. Wah! That's a sad wah, not a happy wah.
Yes, we're all wah-wang for you, fucker.
So now the show, now that we've seen, okay, now that we've established that about 35 people have broken up since the last season, the show now turns to Shep's birthday party, and it kind of goes into this very funny place for the rest of the hour, which is watching these guys try to smoke some meats. So first they go to the butcher. It's Craig and Shep at the butcher, and it's like, gosh, meats, this is cool. So they get their meats. And when they're there, they're like, oh, can we rent this smoker? They're like, sure. So they rent this a smoker, which is different than a grill. Very different. So now we go over to Shep's house. Time to start the party planning. And things start off fine at first. Shep arrives home, and there's like the Katie, the party planner, has made everything look nice. And Shep is like, look at this. Gosh, look how ornate. Gosh.
It's a picnic table with plates. Gosh, holy mackerel. So Craig is trying to start up this smoker, which they've rented, but of course he doesn't know how to do it. And Shep's like, I thought you said you're the grill master. And he's like, Is this a grill? Because I didn't say this was a grill. Oh, I made you an apron. It says Shep. And I also made me an apron, and I sewed on Craig. They're different fonts. Now tell me I'm not a grill master. Now tell me.
Well, I think Craig actually had a point, because being a grill master is very different from knowing how to smoke meats. Like, there's a whole different science to it.
Well, yeah, but he was equipment. Also at the butcher when they rented the smoker. Like,
that's true, too. That's
so
true,
Craig,
too.
He's like, well, I've got Google, so that's how we're going to do this. Why is everybody freaking out?
So then the editors decide just to have fun with this, because they just kept on putting these timestamps in, which really had nothing to do with anything. It just added, like, this sense of silly urgency. Like, it was Law and Order. It was like 20 minutes later, and they're still trying to figure out how to turn on the smoker, because they lit a bunch of charcoal on fire with like lighter fluid and some stuff, and they put it in. They're like, mission accomplished. 20 minutes later, they're like, gosh, where's the heat? And then there's like this moment of Craig being like, well, you have to build a teepee with little sticks over bigger sticks, and like it makes a fire, and like that's, and it's like, but this is charcoal. Well, consider the charcoal the medium sticks, and like little sticks are like the other sticks, and we put the big sticks under the medium sticks.
So, speaking of dumpster fires, let's go look and see what Thomas is doing with his new hoe. So she's getting dressed, and she's like, what should I wear? Should I wear a dress or shorts? And he's like, shorts. They should be cut above your buttocks. Now, yeah, here's what I got to do. I got to practice my whistle. Woo, woo. Woo, woo.
No, that's not it. Hold on. No, that was a bird. No.
I'd like to point out that he is still wearing white jeans. So
I'd also like to point out that the first dress that Ashley tried on was perfectly nice. And then she puts on these like short shorts, and then like this top. The outfit looks ridiculous. It does not match. The shorts are too short. The top is it's like a bad outfit on its own. And it's also, she's like, well, I'm just meeting these girls for the first time. I don't want them to think I'm a hooch. And he's like, I like the way your butt looks. That accentuates your physique. And so she's like, okay. Yeah. I'm like, come on, girl.
He's like, I want people to see you for what you are. Oh, lovely young piece of ass. Now, can you cut these shorter? And then he goes, Ashley and Catherine are quite different. Ashley has exquisite manners. Like, okay, Thomas. You're like miming fucking her up the butt while she's trying to put on her makeup.
Thanks, Emily Post. Yeah, he's now 5:45 p.m. Dun dun. They're putting the ribs on the smoker, and I forgot about this. Shep puts the ribs on the smoker, and he must have like touched the grill. And he goes, ow, Craig, why did you punch me through the fire? Oh,
I'm a drunk asshole. This grill is a drunk asshole.
Oh, I'm gonna go upstairs and read Chaucer till this feels better.
He's like, to be or not to be burned. Oh, I'm gonna rest.
Gosh, so, and so they get into this whole argument, right? Where like, Shep is like, gosh, don't close it because we have to flip them. He's like, well, I don't know if you flip them. Like, Craig, you're supposed to be the grill master, but it's smoking. No, you're supposed to turn it over. Do you know that? No, but at least I know that you're not supposed to turn it over, but I'm going to tell you to turn it over anyway. I was like, what are you guys talking about?
They're both idiots. And Austin's like, what kind of party is this? You guys don't have appetizers? Yeah, I mean, we need Doritos and like dip. And so they sent him to, he's like, well, why don't you go to the store then? That would be great. Get some cheese cubes.
We also should also point out that he shows up with like a quote unquote six pack. It's basically a St. Pauli's girl cardboard carrier, and he put like just six random bottles, like three bottles, two cans, and then a salt and pepper shaker. You know,
yeah, it's like the half empty peanut butter jar from Chelsea's house.
And then he gave took me a moment there. I'm taking ownership of this gift. He gave Shep the Vietnam War book. He's like, Shep is like, Vietnam War? This is what I'm watching right now on PBS. Gosh. And I was like, oh, I'm so jealous because PBS took it offline and I was watching it. I was being like Shep.
Oh my God, you're both just so smart. And he was really holding that book so close to his chest. It was cute.
He was cradling it.
Whoa.
He was holding it like a trapper keeper. It was his favorite thing. He was like leaping through it, you know. It was like the way I acted as a kid when my parents got me like a bunch of stickers. I was like, oh my God, stickers.
God, what a dark time in America. I can't wait to masturbate to this later. So Naomi is over at her house and all the girls start gathering. And Chelsea's like, oh, it's me, your normal girlfriend. Just a normal girl. My average girl here. And then Danny and Catherine come over and they start bonding. And they go, do you want a drink? And Catherine's like, it's the first day back on camera. I think I'll hold off on that. And she's like, well, would you like a liqueur? And she's like, I thought it was LaCroix. And Naomi's like, no, it's liqueur.
LaCroix. By the way, we have to talk about the fact that these women are all dressed up. They look beautiful. They've done their hair. They got makeup. They have these beautiful outfits on. And the guys are back there in like t-shirts or like some, you know, $5 button up, arguing over Tostitos and cheese cubes and what they're going to get, what they're going to have Austin get. Like this, the gender roles on this show are so fucked up. The women are like, are doing all the heavy lifting. They're the ones making an effort in life. And these guys are like, gosh, how do you light a barbecue?
Yep. And the women that love them. So,
and then Shep is the one who made Catherine take a shower before sex.
Yes. I'm like, that is such a Sex and the City storyline. Well, yeah. Miranda actually dated someone that made her take a shower right after every single time.
I once hooked up with a guy who was like, you have to take a shower first. I was like, okay, that's weird. But you know what, though? I respect cleanliness.
Well, yeah,
you know, I'm an accountability coach. It's like we're like, oh, my God, what a weird person that they want hygiene.
Did you brush your teeth? Let me smell. Teddy. So Chelsea or Danny's like, I'm giving Shep a condom. Should I put one more condom in there or just one? And Chelsea's like, he probably doesn't use those things anyway. And they ask Catherine if he does. And I forgot Catherine's like pretty much boned half this cast. And she's like, no. And you don't mind. I don't know. I don't mind talking about it. It was a long time ago. But yeah, he did make me take a shower first. And I had to wipe off all my spray tan because I stained his couch one time.
Oh God!
Catherine's my hero on this show.
Oh, she's so good. And then all of a sudden, it goes 6:45 p.m. I mean, I like that there's this countdown, like what will happen at 7:30 when the party starts. Like for the first time ever on Bravo, we care about the exact start time of a party. So 6:45, they're all cooking, and Shep is cutting an onion. Did you notice this part? Shep is cutting an onion, and he's just like crying. Gosh, why is it doing this to me? I'm never going to be able to read my Vietnam book. I'm going to look at Robert McNamara. Gosh.
I'm crying just knowing I got a Vietnam book. Gosh. He's like, is it weird that I want to call my mom and cry to her?
I want to masturbate to Madame Vo. Gosh.
So back at the girls, they start talking about how JD and Elizabeth are Denzo and Danielle's like, is Elizabeth coming? And Naomi's like, no, because that motherfucker JD said, I'm going out and you take the kids. Naomi is on a warpath. I don't think Naomi's had this many lines the entire time she's been on the show, except when she's yelling at Craig. And I'm loving that she's in the mix now with all the girls. She's like, fuck him. If he says one motherfucking thing, and all the girls are just ready to kick his ass.
Oh, yeah, they are so mad. They hate him. I love it. I love it.
It's going to be fun.
Meanwhile, Thomas is, by the way, I said Madame Vo before, and I meant to say Madame 2, I think. It's very important for me to have proper facts. Madame New. So Thomas is over with, like, getting into the car with Ashley, and he finally gets his cat call right. He's like, got it. I finally got it. Got it right.
And she's like, you'll protect me, right? Is everybody going to be mean for me? Because, and he goes, I'm excited to see Catherine's reaction when you walk in with that butt. She's like, am I dressing for Catherine now? I'm like, yeah, it's like you weren't dressing for Catherine before. Come on now. And he's like, exactly. Yeah, I'll protect you. You want a screw? A driver? And she's like, well, that's a really good joke, Thomas.
Oh, she's just biting her tongue. She's like, the things you do to be on TV. So Now it's 7:15, dun-dun, and now Shep has gone to the bartender at the party. He's like, do you have any cooking experience? Can you cook our dinner for us? Like, they like, the frenzy that these guys are in over the stupid smoker is so hilarious. And Craig is getting defensive because he feels like they're attacking him. And he's like, I mean, it's not fair. I mean, he's used this before, so of course he knows what he's doing. Like, Craig, stop being defensive. And then Austin goes in with tongs, and Austin's like tries to pull the meat off, but he's using the chicken tong. Craig's like, Austin, you can't do that. Oh, I mean, it's raw chicken, just not cool, man. Like, oh, and it's like, oh, sorry, I used the raw chicken tong. Sorry. I'm like, it's actually like really bad for you. You can't do that, Austin.
And Chef's like, can I put paper plates in the oven? Gosh.
You're being an asshole. You're being an asshole. You're being an asshole. You're being an asshole.
So that's pretty much it. So then we get this. My favorite part of the whole show is, wait, how does this show? This show doesn't end right.
Well, now it's
is this when it's the slow motion part?
Doesn't. No. So now it's like 7:20, and now now Craig is now in a full, you know, full paranoid state of thinking that everyone is coming down on him, and so, you know, Shep and Austin are talking about Craig. They're just like obsessed with this smoker. Thomas and Ashley get in their car with their roadies. And this is when Danny asks Catherine, like, are you going to be okay to meet Ashley? And Catherine's like, Ashley who? I was like, ooh. I love a Catherine Dennis shade.
Tell me when they get to the slow motion part.
Okay.
Because I keep thinking we're there. I'm like, and then they're fighting about meat. And then they're fighting about meat again. And then they're fighting about meat.
They are. So Catherine says she's just going to play dumb because she was never – formally introduced or told about Ashley, so she's gonna act like she didn't know. And then Danny is like, all the girls are talking about Ashley, like, and Danny is like, I mean, who would move across the country for someone they didn't know very well? It's like, cut to Brittany being like, JX. So now it's 7:24 p.m. We're getting close to party time. But the guys are settling down. They now feel like everything's going to work out. Craig is now going through his like eighth stage of anxiety. Now he's like in the state of acceptance. He's gone from denial that anything's gone wrong to now being like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Everyone's going to have a good time. It's okay. God, give me the power to accept things that I cannot change. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. And then it's like 7:27 p.m. and we see a snail sculpture. And then we see Shep. He's like, you know what? Despite all the friction and all the strife, we did it. And the women are all like, okay, it's time to go. And so they all chose to each other. They're like, you know what? At the end of the day, we're all that we've got, and we're women, and we're not going to screw each other over. I'm like, okay, you've clearly never seen a reality show, and you're on one, so we'll see how that works out.
And Chelsea's like, it's all about girl power and women empowerment, except for that bitch friend of mine who I don't speak to anymore who had sex with my friend.
Yeah. And now comes the slow motion part.
Now, this is the best, because it's like, boom, it's like they turn the theme song, which is like the happiest thing to ever be made into music. It's like the happiest song ever. They turn it into this horror music song, and it's the best thing. I want to download it onto my computer and like walk very slowly to it.
Yeah, it was a haunting remix. It was like, it felt like it should have been out of like a Baz Luhrmann movie, you know, like that haunting moment when two star-crossed lovers meet by a fish tank.
And I think that they made it for the first time that Whitney got a telegraph that his mom was going to get remarried to Mr. C. But they were like, this is too sad. He literally starts rocking back and forth and cutting himself on the thigh. So let's just put this to people driving to the party instead. So it's like, who's got money? Ba-da-ba-da. It's like the girl from The Ring crawling very slowly out of the toilet, like coming to the party. It's like, what is happening?
And even she's better at dress than the guys. She's like, do you guys need some help with this smoker?
It's so funny because it's really just shots of them all driving to the party and getting out. And it's like, every honeybee, ba-dum-ba-da.
I just thought that the 20 minutes of smoker chaos and drama were so funny. Just watching, like, bros bickering, like, really bickering, the three of them, over what should happen and what to do, and the anxiety that they had. They were all looking up on Google. They couldn't figure it out. They probably weren't venting the thing, which is why it wasn't lighting up. And they should have used a charcoal chimney. That's, like, the most reliable way to do it. But watching them just, like... just descend into madness over smoke and some ribs.
How many people will get food poisoning?
At what point do you say, let's put on the oven at 250 and stick the ribs in there for 3 hours? Just do that.
Well, welcome home, Southern Charm. We sure love
welcome
this damn
home.
Show.
We didn't forgive you. We didn't forget you, and we're so glad that you're here. What a great week of Bravo for all of us. We normally do a mailbag because it's Friday. But you know what? We are basically dead.
Ben, you ready for a little nappy? I'm ready to go. Let's party.
I'm ready for a nappy nap. We'll come back to the mailbag. And we also have a crappin' spotlight for next week, too. So all that coming back next
baller.
Week. Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back next week, everybody. See you Monday for Real Housewives of Atlanta Reunion Part 1.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.